got a piece of apple stuck in my teeth.
Oh, that is so good. If being on air, that's the fuck. Steve, is that you?
Annoying. Happy Thursday, people O's, people of the world, children of the corn, all that good stuff.
Happy Thursday. It's almost the weekend, Corey. Almost the weekend. Can you believe it?
All I know is tonight I'm going to see Harry Potter. That's all I care about. Whatever.
Oh, when are you doing that? We have the show.
After the show at midnight.
Oh, you're going at midnight.
That's right. It is on. Arrest the momentum. Okay, anyway.
Very nice. I'm jealous. I would go, but yeah, I may have an early morning, so no for that.
Well, you know, if you drove here, you'd be closer to Delta.
I know.
You know, we're both equidistant from Dallas is the funny part. Not exactly close. You just make a circle. You drive there and then back home.
I know. Wouldn't that be awesome? We'd get together. We'd party. We'd have some fun. Somebody would have to come bail us out of jail.
Oh, yeah, because I surely would be standing out on Westheimer with my magic wand. Westheimer is the busiest street in Houston, no matter what time of day. Yeah, I'd be standing out on Westheimer with a wand after this movie's over. Wait, what is wrong with that crazy woman? I love you, Harry Potter. Okay. Ginger, did we lose you? Okay, apparently we did. Yay for BT. I'm hoping you guys can still hear me out there in Blog Talk Land. So I'm going to do a news story because apparently we lost our Ginger. Oh, there she's back.
All right. Well, I guess I'm doing this by the phone.
Really? Did you switch to your phone? I'm not sure if it was you or if it was BT or my connection or what.
I'm not for certain. I guess I can see whether or not other websites are working, but
we don't really know because it is Comcast still having issues. Yay.
Still having issues. Well, I got probably about 6 stories on each side pulled up, so.
All right, well, do what you do, baby.
All right, do what I do. All right, GamePolitics.com this morning, because you know I love them, and they pulled this story from Industry Gamers, actually. There's a rumor going around right now that the Xbox 360 games are going to be playable on Windows 8. Oh, and I just updated to Windows 7.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'll wait. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You know what? No, according to Windows lore, Windows 8 is going to suck.
Possibly.
Yeah, you know how every other incarnation is bad. But go ahead.
This is true. Well, yeah, I guess so. So I kind of liked Vista, but I'm totally digging Windows 7. All right, so as you probably already know, to play a popular Xbox 360 title on the PC, you have to hope that the publisher has released a PC version of it and that it supports the use of the Xbox 360 controller. A rumor today, if true, could change all of that. According to an Industry Gamers report, Microsoft is rumored to be working on providing Xbox 360 support to Windows 8 users. The report adds that the system probably won't support cross-platform play between the platforms, and that the Xbox Live for PC would probably still require a subscription fee. Woohoo, Thursday, people. All right, so on a related note, Engadget has uncovered some Windows 8 source code that references an Xbox 360 _system_crash. While this proves nothing, it probably wouldn't hurt Microsoft to offer that kind of support for Xbox 360 gamers. The writer goes on to say that, I know I'd be happy to play some of my favorite 360 games on my PC. Yes, Left 4 Dead, I've got so many friends that are killing me to come play Left 4 Dead on the PC. So if I could do that, that'd be awesome.
Well, remember I told you there used to be the ability to play on the PC with your friends on the Xbox. I know I wasn't crazy. See, I told you.
No, I know you weren't crazy. Well, you are crazy.
That's a whole different story. True. It's a different story for a different day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they say right now there's just not enough evidence to consider this anything more than a rumor, but that they'll keep their eyes open for new information on this topic and reveal it to you when it becomes available, which means when we get it, we'll let you know.
When we get it, you'll get it.
Yeah.
All right. So you people out there that happen to be lucky enough to have a 3DS, and we're working on that, actually. We'll see what they say. I'll either have some very happy Ginger Snows and Blasters or not. But Nintendo has revealed that 1.5 million Wii owners use the Netflix movie service daily here in the U.S. This figure comes as the service launches on the 3DS, allowing access to the standard 20 content, and 3D movies are promised soon. Yes. So the new Netflix application looks great, plays great, and is a fantastic consumer experience. That's what Reggie over here in Nintendo of America is saying. I'm going to leave his last name alone today. It also gives Nintendo 3DS owners access to an amazing wealth of movies and TV shows, which they can watch conveniently from the thousands of free, yes, we said free, Wi-Fi access points across the country, a lot of them in not-so-healthy places like McDonald's. Oh, God. Nintendo 3DS truly offers something for everyone, he says. Netflix streaming members starts at $7.99 a month, although those unlimited plans can instantly watch content on the handheld and other devices. How does this figure into what happened yesterday would be the question.
I don't know.
You guys remember what we talked about yesterday? Do you remember, Jojo? Mm-hmm. They're raising the prices, and you can get streaming, or you can get this.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering how that's going to figure in with the 3DS people. I guess we'll find out, huh? Huh?
I guess we will.
You also, because that was so short, you Redbox people. Redbox is just sent me an alert, like just now. Those of you who do go to the Redbox, today only you can reserve two movies on the Redbox.com website, and you'll get a third one free. I don't know how that applies to games, but they like us. They keep sending us stuff. So I thought I'd share that with you.
Very nice. Very nice. They don't have the movie I want right now, so I'm kind of bummed. And I went to go rent the movie I wanted yesterday and totally forgot that I didn't have my ID with me. So,
at the
Redbox, I didn't get to do it. Redbox didn't have what I wanted, so I went to Hastings.
Oh, I was like, Redbox is making you put in the ID? I didn't know that.
No. That'd be awesome. Oh, no, I guess that would be awesome, but...
It would be. It should. That's the way it should be, I think. I'm just saying.
Maybe. So we can hunt you down when you take the last movie or the last game that we wanted.
Well, no, because we don't want any kids playing the game. Bad Ginger. Ginger's thinking about hurting people today.
I know. I'm evil. I'm so evil.
She is evil. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you love me that way, though.
Of course we do.
Yes. All right, so what have I got? I have, what's this? GamePolitics.com. 2K Games president inserts foot in mouth.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. I think we've all done that once or twice. So let's see what he has to say. A new interview with 2K president Christoph Hartmann over on MTV makes the top executive at Take-Two label look a little foolish. Not that it's MTV's fault. In that interview, Hartmann degrades strategy games and Ray Charles, among other things. He comments on about as part of a discussion on XCOM, the popular strategy game series that the company is reimagining as a strategy-themed shooter. All right, so here's the first quote about the 90s strategy games. The 90s generation of gamers all love XCOM, and we own the IP, so we thought, okay, what do we do with it? Every studio we had wanted to do it, and each one had its own spin on it. But the problem was that turn-based strategy games were no longer the hottest thing on planet Earth. This is not just a commercial thing. Strategy games are just not contemporary.
It would be if you put Gladius back on the market. A lot of people loved that game. I don't know if you made Gladius, but I'm griping. Yeah, I play it.
The most foolish thing he claims is that strategy games aren't contemporary. Isn't Plants vs. Zombies a strategy game? StarCraft 2?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't EA making a new CNC game? Didn't 2K Games make a lot of money off of Civ 5 and recently put a Civ game on Facebook?
Yes, which I'm playing right this second.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're so addicted. And now for Ray Charles. Apparently, if Charles had grown up in the era of Kanye West, he'd be exactly like him. Oh, my God. What? Wait. All right, so he says, I use the example of music artists. Look at someone old school like Ray Charles. If he would make music today, it would still be Ray Charles, but he would probably do it more in the style of Kanye West. Bringing Ray Charles back is all fine and good, but it just needs to move on, although the core essence will still be the same. That's what we're trying to do.
Wait, let me, that is definitely your foot in your mouth, because Ray Charles, not to say Kanye's not talented in his own right, but he cannot. Let me go old school so I can make sure you guys understand. He cannot hold Ray Charles' jock. He can't sing. He cannot sing.
Kidding.
He can't play an instrument. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. My head hurts now.
I know, right?
My head hurts.
Yeah.
So you could have compared Etta James and maybe Beyonce to singers. They look similar, when they're in their youth. That's a better compare. I'm done. I'm sorry, Jen.
Yeah.
Go. Sorry.
No, okay. No, it's fine. So to renew XCOM, but in line with that, is generation of games. What? To renew XCOM, but in line with that, with what this generation of gamers want. The team behind it is asking themselves every day, is it true to the values of the franchise? It's not a case of cashing in on the name. We just need to renew it because times are changing. The writer goes on to say, are people really moving on from Ray Charles since he's dead? Should I throw my Doors album in the fire, followed by everything from Johnny Cash? It's one of the most ridiculous arguments ever made. The truth is that we can't move on and forget about XCOM or Ray Charles because we cherish the art for being great. Yeah. You know what, Christoph, I love your name, Christoph. That's so hot. But, yeah, you're kind of stupid.
Very.
I hope you're pretty.
Oh, wow. Well, probably not. if your foot fits in your mouth, you're not pretty.
It's true.
Well, VentureBeat.com has a very interesting article this morning. They talk with Mr. Nolan Bushnell. And you're saying, who's Nolan Bushnell? Some of you younger gamers out there, bite your tongue. Nolan Bushnell started all of this, the father of video games. He didn't start it all. He's one of the fathers. Anyway, he said that he plans to disrupt education with a new startup aimed at getting kids to learn via technology and games. Thank you. Why does it take the old guys to come in? Some of you young guys should be doing this. This should have been the first thing in your mind. But anyway, Bushnell delivered his announcement on stage at this week's GamesBeat 2011 conference with the panache of the original game industry huckster that he is, lacing his talk with raunchy jokes, grandiose predictions of the future, and outright bragging. Bushnell is a true character and one of the most prolific entrepreneurs in the history of video games and technology, also best known for creating the video game industry's first boom times with the founding of Atari. His speech wandered everywhere and is very illuminating. And when he was asked what he was working on, he says, I want to fix education in the world. As soon as I work on that, I'm going to work on world hunger and then world peace. Hot.
That is hot. That is very hot.
Through his startup called Speed to Learn, Bushnell will try to get kids to learn faster by integrating gameplay directly into education plans. He claims that his Wordplay.com Spanish vocabulary game can help kids learn Spanish 5 or 6 times faster than Rosetta Stone. And he's not the only program I've told you guys about that can do that. And it's also cheaper than Rosetta Stone. Good God, Rosetta Stone people. He also said that games adapt to a user's level of knowledge, known as an adaptive practice, and will be combined with metrics and tutoring to recreate curricula for schools. He says all schools will end up using game metrics in the future, and he's probably right. He said the public school system with its bureaucracy and unions and BS are stuck. The pressure is building. There will be an earthquake. That will happen with the bankruptcy of California in about 2 years. There is no chance California will fix itself with unfunded pensions and runaway public sector costs. It's going to be like Greece. We don't have the European community to bail us out either. It's going to have to be the federal government, but California is a huge economy. He said that will result in draconian cuts for education, and that's when Bushnell plans to be ready with his solution. He didn't provide any other details other than the company's website link, which is speedtolearn.com. It's not up and running yet, apparently. He says, am I an ambulance chaser? No. I'll take advantage of an opportunity called predicting the future. You may think I'm crazy, but I'm the only one who was predicting the Nintendo Wii would beat Sony's PlayStation 3. You were not the only one. Bushnell started his speech by talking about the early days of video games. He founded the original Atari Inc. with Ted Dabney back in 1972, and we just lost Ted a few weeks ago. He said launching revolution in home and arcade video games. He sold the company in 1977 to Warner Communications and left in 1978. During that time, he was also considered to be a very colorful figure. He didn't take credit for inventing video games, which were started as early as 1958. But in the 1970s, Bushnell said his efforts resulted in the acceleration of video games through titles such as Pong. Apple founder Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs worked for him. Did y'all know that?
No, I didn't know that.
And Wozniak built the game Breakout for Atari. When they left to start Apple, they offered to let him invest $50,000 for a third of the company, and Bushnell chose not to invest, which I'm sure he's he says, I regret that. And he also predicted that gaming technologies of all sort will catch fire, including augmented reality or layering digital imagery over real-world camera phone images. And there's a couple of people that are trying to do that now, amazingly enough. He also said he was tired of the mechanics in Zeniga games. saying he was sick of Mafia Wars. So am I. And do we really want to plant any more cabbages? I don't want to plant any more cabbages. So the tedious game mechanics in these games is known as grinding, where players have to do things over and over again to rise up in the game's levels. He said grinding works for a while, but I'm not convinced that grinding is a long-term strategy for success. He also said that he was a fan of game streaming technologies such as OnLive, Otoy, and Gakai, and that we're probably entering a golden age of creativity, so you can get more creative results with cheaper efforts and tools than ever before, adding that when you lower the risk of building projects such as games, you can increase creativity. He offered some sage advice, saying, mistrust consensus. When the industry zigs in one direction, you should zag.
Zig when you I like that analogy.
I like it. You can read because this is a pretty long article. You can read the rest of it over at VentureBeat.com. Tell them we sent you. I am loving this man. I've never actually heard him speak, and I've heard he's very colorful, but I'm just adoring him. Go and check out his article, and I think he's on to some things. I mean, he was there from the beginning. He's got the old, my grandmother calls the old man insight, where, you know, he's been around to see all the trends go up and down. Some of you that are a little older now have probably started to notice things move in circles. One week it's this, and next week it's that, and then if you wait a few years, it comes back around again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with
that horrible 80s look I've seen in the mall quite a bit lately.
Oh, God, I am so hating that that's coming back. Well, I'll tell you one thing I did like about the 80s. I love the shirts off the shoulder.
Okay, yes, I like that.
Mainly because my shirts hang off the shoulder anyway. I just have something weird going on with my shirt. So now I look in fashion, which is good.
Very nice. Very nice.
All right, Ginger, what you got?
What I got? What I got? I got Love Film. Oh, yes. It's not as bad as it sounds, I promise. Love Film and Entertainment One UK signed an exclusive content deal.
Wait, I'm stuck on the Love Film.
Not that kind of Love Film. My God. All right. So, yeah, I totally went there, and it's that early in the morning. Right, so Love Film and Entertainment One UK, E1, has signed a 5-year content deal allowing Love Film subscribers exclusive access to the portfolio of movies from the number one independent film distributor, including the global phenomenon The Twilight Saga. Members of Love Film, Europe's largest subscription service, streaming movies and TV episodes over the internet and sending DVDs by post, will be able to watch all of E1's new and future movies instantly on its Watch Online service through the Love Film Player, either on the PC via in-home connected living room devices or on the PlayStation 3. E1's new release catalog will be exclusively available for UK Love Film members who subscribe to any of their premium packages, which offer a streaming option. So The Twilight Saga, Eclipse, the world phenomenon, and third film in The Twilight Saga starring Kristen Stewart, Robert Pattinson, and Taylor Lautner will be the first amongst a batch of titles available in the UK from October this year.
Hmm.
Future films, yeah, okay, I don't care about the regular films. All right, so the only cool thing about that was that it was going to be available on the PS3. So, all right, to our UK friends, sounds like y'all have something that's
coming
comparable to Netflix now. But I don't think we have the Twilight Saga yet.
I am not a fan of the movies. I think it should have been left in book form, I'm just going to say.
Yes, yes. So, way to go, PS3 users in the UK, not here in the US. So, yeah, not that. All right, shall I grab another one, or do you got one?
I actually have more people speaking at Games Beat. Trip Hawkins.
Okay.
There's a lot of predictions being made, and I'm not disagreeing with any of them, and probably we'll get into them more later, because you know it's Thursday. But we'll talk about him a little bit now. The founder of EA, Trip Hawkins, is accusing Nintendo of presiding over a feudal dark age in the game industry in which developers don't own the land that they're tilling.
Oh.
He spoke at the Gamma Sutra 10. Gamma Sutra. Wow. Games Beat 2011 in San Francisco, and he's also the founder and CEO of game company Digital Chocolate, which we're fans of. I hate to say it, but we are. Digital Chocolate made Zombie Lane. So he spoke passionately about...
I love Zombie Lane. I love Zombie Lane.
Where's
my Facebook?
Right. He said he spoke very passionately about the power of platform holders and how they limit creativity in comparison to open platforms. He says, look at the World Wide Web and how many companies have been built on that open platform. Nintendo is a great, amazing company, but how many companies have been built on the back of Nintendo's platform in the past 25 years? He said that the game industry has been born in a golden age of open platforms and that EA had prospered because it had ignored Nintendo and focused on the Sega Genesis, which it reverse engineered. We fought for our freedom. We didn't accept the feudal system. Okay, Trip, you're a little over the top. He said, there is no question that there is a war going on between the hearts and minds of the developers. They will decide which feudal lord wins or loses. The days of floating your boat on one platform are over. The question is, do you as a developer own the dirt? He said that platform holders lure developers in with false promises of freedom and argue that developers should focus on the browser and open system. It is not an open system. Trip, it's not open.
Mm-mm.
He's arguing out the web browser will win out as a new ultimate platform for games. I can agree with that, but I don't believe the platform is an open system. Unfortunately, social networks are running the world right now. So if you can't get your game on Facebook or the new Google Plus and make it work within their parameters, that's just another form of whatever you're calling it, slavery, whatever you want to call it. I think it's a lot safer for some developers to be on, if they can afford it, to be on a platform, to get the support of that platform. I think you're just mad at Nintendo. And again, why does everybody keep trying to step up to Nintendo and want to fight? You know, we keep telling you, Godzilla, Ant, you're not going to win.
You can try. You can try all you want, but it's not going to happen.
They laugh at you. You're like bullets bouncing off of their Superman's chest. They're like,
you want to pay? You want a piece of this? You want a piece of this? Really? I don't think you do.
Foolish mortal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, interestingly, because that was short, Gamma Sutra is also their writer, Colin Campbell. Normally, we don't mention other writers. He is saying that same thing we're saying, Trip Hawkins is wrong about Nintendo. I'm not going to go into deep detail again. We'll talk about it later. Make sure you're listening tonight if you can. If not, you can download it tomorrow. You got nothing else to do on Friday, pretending like you're working. But he's saying that the golden age of blah, 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 blah. He's saying his point.
Very nice.
Saying that all the power had shifted from the artists to the platform holders. He added the platform holders had no interest in creative freedom and a history of luring developers into false promises. He said there's a lot to like about this argument, his conclusion that developers should focus on the browser, but the idea of the console era has merely been one of the creative exploitation by the likes of Nintendo is fanciful, and we'll talk about that later on tonight. I happen to agree with him. Completely. Yeah.
Yeah.
You went all the way to the left there, Trip. I think it's all that tanning you did. Stop tanning, dude.
You're killing your brain cells. Wait, was it fake tan or was it real tan? Was it fake tan?
I can't tell. Yeah. But I'm gonna need him to stop with the tanning. Some of you out there just don't tan. You only need about 15 minutes of actual sun a day and then just leave it at that. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I mean, really, but you know this. Me and Ginger are medically trained. Biologically, you need about 15 minutes of sun a day, like a plant, and then you can go inside. And, I want to be tan. No, you don't need to be tan. You are fine just the way you are. Thank you.
See, in this way, it's because I don't so much tan as I burn, and I just turn pink.
That's because you were a redhead in your former life.
Something. Which I might do again. I might do again.
I've already told you that you look good.
Yeah, that's right.
Redhead looks good on you, and Miss Snow looks good with the whole black hair, and we got a blonde, and I am a wiggy, so who knows what color my hair is up under these wigs. Sometimes it's black. I was blonde one day. That was an accident. I don't look good as blonde. That was a girl.
Not a good thing. Not a good thing.
Not at all. Bad, bad, bad. I will never do that again.
Wow. Is it already time for Comic-Con talk? Already?
It is. It is.
Wow. That time of year again.
Do it.
Ubisoft reveals a lineup for Comic-Con. Today Ubisoft announced its plans for Comic-Con International San Diego on July 20th through the 24th, 2011. Is it really that soon? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was later in the year. The company will feature the first public demos of Just Dance 3 and Rabbids, Alive and Kicking. In addition, Ubisoft will demo Rayman Rayman Origins and host an exclusive panel for Assassin's Creed Revelations on July 23rd, 2011, of course, so this year. Located in the exhibit hall at 4245, Ubisoft's booth will feature a special stage for consumers to get down with Just Dance 3, the latest iteration of America's favorite dance game, which will be available on all platforms this fall, and Rabbids Alive and Kicking, a zany, wild, and humorous collection of mini-games the whole family can enjoy. Booth visitors will also have an opportunity to play Rayman Origins for the first time before the game's release later this year. Rayman Origins is a high-definition 2D side-scrolling platforming adventure featuring full four-player co-op. Additionally, Rayman Origins fans can win a free T-shirt by checking in on Facebook at the Rayman Origins billboard at 6th Avenue and F Street in the Gas Lamp Quarter, and then claim their prize at Ubisoft's booth. Other prizes will be given away at the booth, including special pre-order discounts and incentives on the upcoming Assassin's Creed Revelations and Just Dance 3 releases. In addition to Ubisoft's booth, Ubisoft is teaming with Break Media and NBC star Zachary Levi's company, The Nerd Machine, to build out a Nerd HQ in downtown San Diego. This is going to be, of course, through July 21st to the 24th. At the Nerd HQ headquarters, fans will gather to celebrate nerd culture and will have the chance to play Rayman Origins. Finally, on Saturday, July 23rd, from 3 to 4 p.m. in Room 25 ABC, the writers behind Assassin's Creed Revelations will discuss and answer questions about the thrilling fourth installment in the critically acclaimed entertainment franchise during the Assassin's Creed The Creation of a Universe panel. The panel will explore how the Ubisoft Montreal development team has created the Assassin's Creed universe, which weaves real-world history and global conspiracies into an ancient war between assassins and Templars across a variety of media. Attendees will be treated to a behind-the-scenes look at how Ezio's final journey will unfold as he walks in the footsteps of his legendary mentor, Altair, on a perilous journey of doubt and discovery. Additionally, attendees will get to watch an exclusive preview of the animated short film Assassin's Creed Embers. Panelists will include the creators of the upcoming Assassin's Creed Revelations game, animated short film, and comic. Adam Sessler, host of G4 TV's X Play, will moderate the panel. All right, so that sounds kind of awesome.
My man is moderating.
next year, Comic Con, Corey. Next year, Comic Con.
We'll see him at PAX.
At PAX.
Yes.
We'll go to Comic Con too.
Hands above the waist, Adam. Okay.
Is it like that?
I just hope there are no photos. Anybody got the photos? Don't.
Have the photos?
Just send them.
Ginger at GameAndAtrix.com.
No, you do send not send them to Ginger. No, don't send them to Ginger.
She got send them to me.
No.
Send them to me. I need to see them. Come on. Please. I'll be good.
All right. Apparently, well, that's not going to work. people over at Impact sent us apparently a trailer of 3D modeling and sculpting, which I was going to share with you. However, I thought they had a little blurb about it. I love when you guys just send us a video and don't tell us what it's there for. It would be nice if you tell us what it's for. So now I have to skip to another story. I will tell you about Paradox Interactive, their Gamescom lineup. I believe Gamescom is actually going on like right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on our forums if it is. We try to keep up with all this for you. We do what we can. However, they've announced their exciting new lineup for Gamescom 2011. And, of course, they're over showcasing some of their titles. King Arthur II, the role-playing war game. Did we do this already? Why does this sound so familiar?
I don't think we did that one.
Sounds familiar. Maybe I'm having a deja vu. Also, the Crusader Kings 2, Salem, which I am waiting on pins and needles, Naval War, Arctic Circle, and Magna Mundi for the attendees who venture over to Camp Paradox during Gamescom. Actually, it's not happening yet. I stand corrected. 2011, Paradox Interactive will hold a press conference and plans to reveal details on Project Postman, as well as the announcement for a new MMORTS and updates on Salem, Hearts of Iron, the card game, and King Arthur 2. The event will start at 1300 hours in Rhinesell 1-2 Congress Center North on Wednesday, August the 17th. They're saying whether you're into fantasy, medieval history, maritime excursions, or eerie American villages from the 1600s, Paradox Interactive will have a variety of games that look to fulfill that special gaming niche in your life. Additionally, the creative and brilliant minds behind these games, yes, the developers, will also be present to answer any questions that come their way. So you can go ahead and ask them anything you like, and they're kind of cheeky like we are, so they'll have some interesting answers, I'm sure. Just a quick rundown of what these games are. I'm not going to go into deep detail. You have King Arthur, which is a PC is the role-playing war game. It is a sequel to King Arthur I, actually. And this is long after Arthur pulled the sword from the stone. Crusader Kings is the PC strategy RPG. Something about Europe in turmoil, blah, blah, blah. You have Naval Arctic Circle.
Something about Europe in turmoil. Sorry.
People in Europe will be like, I thought you liked us. We do love you, but I'm trying to get through these. Okay. So Naval War Arctic Circle is a PC strategy game. Strategic and Tactical Battle on the Open Seas is all you pretty much need to know. Salem, the one we're waiting on, PC MMO role-playing, set in New England. Offers free form and massive multiplayer gameplay in a persistent, mutable online world. Ha, 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 ha.
Wait, hold on. Mutable?
Mutable. Mutable in online worlds, what they said.
Oh, no. Okay.
You'll be a colonist trying to make a life for yourself, crafting, farming, building systems, and, of course, alchemy and some witchcraft and all that good business.
Witchcraft.
Burned at the stake. I think this is the one we said, permadeath. Yeah. You have Magna Mundi, which is PC, grand strategy, real-time strategy, historical. 400 playable countries spanning 300 years of history. You can read the entire descriptions up at our website here in just a second. You can also follow Paradox at their Facebook, at their Twitter, which is PDX Interactive. And they have forums, and they got websites and lions. Oh, my. Okay. So, anyway, you can check that out on our site. And we'll see you in Salem comes out, because I am so in there. Somebody's going to die at my hands. Just come up, start talking smack. Let's just get it over with. You're going down.
Yes, yes. Going downtown.
Why am I sending Twitters to strange people? Somebody just got a strange Twitter for me. You sent me one. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I just was touching the phone, and lo and behold, here we are sending Twitter. I'm sorry.
It's happening again, Corey. It's happening again.
What's happening again? Kill it before it dies.
Hackers. Flipping hackers.
I was just thinking this morning, thank God that's all died down. I guess I thought too soon.
Yes, you did. All right, Kim, this just popped up on GamePolitics.com. QuakeCon forums are hacked. Oh, yes. Id Software revealed that its QuakeCon forums have been hacked and warned users that they may want to change their login information to avoid any hassles. The company said on the QuakeCon website, in recent days, a hacker carried out an unlawful intrusion of the old forums, QuakeCon.org, site, compromising usernames and passwords. While we have taken appropriate steps to protect the new forums from attack, we recommend anyone using their old credentials on another site to change their passwords immediately. We regret any inconvenience this may have caused and suggest you migrate to the new forums, which will be live shortly to discuss QuakeCon 2011.
Wow.
QuakeCon 2011 takes place August 4th through the 7th at the Hilton Anatole Hotel in Dallas, Texas. At the very least, the security breach is a reminder that QuakeCon is a mere month away. Find out more about the hack and the event over at QuakeCon.org.
Are you guys just saying that just to get the attention? I mean,
I know, that's what I was wondering.
Why exactly would the forums be hacked, would be my question. What's on the forums that somebody would want?
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'm making that up. This looks suspicious.
Could be.
It looks very suspicious.
Very suspicious.
I don't know if I trust you peoples. Oof. Anyway, moving along. What time is it? Okay, keep an eye on the time. All right.
We got a little bit. Okay. We're good.
I'm making sure. You know, my vitamins just kicked in. It's amazing. You switch up vitamins, how much better you feel. I had the wrong vitamins before. Bad. Okay. So, Team Bondi. Team Bondi is saying, or the ex-employee is saying they want to destroy the studio. How dramatic. GameIndustry.biz is reporting today, L.A. Noire's lead programmer has spoken out against the accusations of harsh working practices from Team Bondi's former employees. In a blog post that was up on Gamma Sutra, Dave Hieronymus, really, that's your name? Published his letter to the IGDA along with a brief introduction that accuses the original IGN story. Normally, I wouldn't mention them, but if you want to follow it, you can. And subsequent leaked emails, of misrepresenting the studio's working culture. Here, Anonymous. I'm going to need you to get a new name. Acknowledges that many will label him as Brendan McNamara's sock puppet or worse, but the severity of the comments could seriously harm the future of Team Bondi and its 35 employees. What is the motivation behind these attacks on Team Bondi? If the motivation were to see improvement in working conditions at Team Bondi, then I'm all for it, here Anonymous wrote. However, some of these comments and recent stories seem to go beyond that. Some ex-employees who left the company years ago want to see Team Bondi destroyed. They want to see 35 game developers out of a job. That seems to be a less laudable motivation. Here Anonymous was one of Team Bondi's first local employees, and he claims that working hours in the early years of L.A. Noire's development were reasonable, with only occasional late nights. As progress began to slow, weekend work became inevitable, but the companies implemented a scheme to generously reward employees for their time. In addition, In addition to time spent working on weeknights, on the final 6 months of the project were paid back in kind once the game shipped, with most of Hero Anonymous team receiving an additional 4 weeks of leave on top of the weekend working payment. Really? Y'all are complaining? In L.A. Noire's final stages, Hero Anonymous estimates that he was working an average of 65 hours a week, but he never came close to the 100 hours posited by other former employees. He says, "I can't say that no one ever worked 100 hours per week, but those sort of hours were not encouraged. In fact, if someone on my team was working that hard, I would have done my best to stop them. I never, and in my experience, neither did any of the other managers, expected anything from my team that I didn't expect from myself. The management team at Team Bondi was not ensconced in an ivory tower working normal hours while everyone else crunched." Here Anonymous finishes by highlighting the importance of L.A. Noire's success to the Australian development community. Local studios like Pandemic, Chrome, Ratbag, and Transmission all closed during the game's production, and thanks to Rockstar's support and commitment to quality, Team Bondi is in a position where it became a leading light for the country's growing industry. No one at Team Bondi is under the illusion that crunching is a good way to work, and we're actively working to learn from our mistakes for our next project. People at Team Bondi are great to work with, and I'm confident that we can make Team Bondi a leading game studio on the international stage. I'm going to get on the soapbox here for a second, if Ms. Ginger doesn't mind. Something else I need to add to this, because I have, I didn't get to tell you this before the show because it slipped my mind. We are officially in a little brawl of our own. It kind of has to do with what's going on here. let me try to condense this, because y'all know I can ramble. I think that these people that were at Team Bondi, some of them took it upon themselves to work these long hours. And I'm not saying everybody did. So I'm sure somebody was asked to stay. And instead of them at least speaking up and saying, "Hey, I'm tired. I've already been here for 15 hours today. I need to go home and rest," they stayed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need to say, "I need to go home." I've done it. Again, you've heard us say this before. In Texas, the law is they will work you to death until you say stop. And legally, they can do so. What they can't do is do it without your permission. They can't say stay or you'll get fired after you've reached 40 hours. Okay, and I'm betting it's the same in a whole lot of other states and even countries. So I'm thinking some of you at Team Bondi, I don't know for sure, you worked and then later you complained because you finally started to get tired, and then you're like, "Well, I want to go home." And at that point, probably we need you to stay because we need you. And even at that point,
yeah,
you just said, "I need to go rest. Let me go home and get something to eat and see my kid and love on my wife or my husband, and then I'll be back." But you always had the ability to walk away. Nobody told you to stay. That's what I don't get. If somebody's working the hell out of you, and if you voiced your opinion, "I can't do this," then at some point, then you needed to leave then. The first time they asked you to work 100 hours, "I am out of here. I cannot do this. Let me look for a different job." I hate people who wait till after the game ships, and now we're going to say something. On that note, we, a couple of years ago, this was before Ms. Ginger arrived, paid someone to redo Gamenatrix, and they took our money. And it was back the week of Hurricane Ike. When I came back, these people said, "Well, let us get settled," because they're located in Florida, and they also were hit by the same hurricane. Said that, "Let's get settled, because, you're unsettled as well, and then we'll get to work on your website." Months passed. Our site never got rebuilt. When I called them, they threatened me, and I put them in what I call my Beatrix Kiddo file. If you've never seen Kill Bill, go watch it. You'll understand why I call it that. And last night I managed to find them.
I did see a little bit of this on Facebook.
You saw me griping back and forth on Twitter. If you're wondering what that's all about, that's what it's all about. And in doing some research, I found that they have built a lot of people out of money. Other companies spend thousands of dollars. And what they've done is gotten rid of their original name and started a new thing. So consider this your official warning, Twisted Bulbs, I'm after you.
She gonna get you, and it's not gonna be good.
Now, on that note, while looking around last night, I ran across a lady on a BBB forum where she was complaining about Blizzard and that World of Warcraft. Her and her kids had 5 accounts, and she's paying all this money, and she had people that were making noise or being rude or whatever, and she was reporting it to Blizzard, and they weren't getting rid of these people, and that they had special keystrokes where they could be up, you know, be on up on 5 accounts at once. And she says, I wonder if I have any legal recourse, and she's mad with Blizzard. And I told her no. Some of you people out there need to understand how the world works. Just because you think things should be a certain way doesn't mean...
Wait. She was upset that somebody...
Somebody in the game where they were harassing her, she said. Not harassing her directly, but you know how people are running around. They're being stupid in the game. They're probably saying stuff in front of her kids, and she wants to sue for that, but you can't sue for that. That's why that little thing comes up, says ESRB says online content is not rated.
Mm-hmm.
And basically that's also saying, Blizzard says, we take no responsibility if your kids hear a word. We've put our basic controls into place, but people find ways around that.
Yes.
And there's millions of people that are playing these MMOs, especially World of Warcraft, millions, they're not going to find the one person unless an astronomical amount of people report them. So what I told her is what I'm telling the rest of you out there. Something like this is going on, and I know you think I'm paying for it, so I should get special billing. That only works when you're in a restaurant, when you're face-to-face with the manager. I'm paying for this dinner. Fix it. When it's millions of you in World of Warcraft, you need to vote with your dollars. Stop paying for the damn game. Just leave. I'm also questioning why this person, as a mother, has her small children playing World of Warcraft, where they're going to hear this kind of language. Why aren't you in Wizard 101, where your kids should be, where they can't be spoken to, where they don't hear this kind of language? So I posted to her, and I posted up on our Facebook. You can go and find it. Because I, as much as we're all tired of the dark ages of gaming, this is part of it. Some of you out there, sorry to be blunt, are stupid. You don't understand what your rights are. You didn't read your terms of service when you signed up for the game, and you start demanding things you have no right to demand because you signed over that right when you got in the game.
And I'll admit to being really bad about that. I rarely read my TOS until I go back.
But you have common sense, though. You know, if I'm standing next to somebody and they're bothering me in World of Warcraft, I need to go to a different area or I need to quit playing the game. But some people out there do not have this common sense. I'm going to tell them they need to get rid of them immediately. I want to see them disappear as soon as I send the report. No, it's still a business.
The only times I ever reported inside World of Warcraft is when I would see racism.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I can't really say sexism because, I mean, that's going to happen. It's gaming and boys are stupid. no offense, boys, if you're listening. Or I would see, I don't know, you'd see complete stupidity, things that were just way out of order. You'd see things that were said, homophobia a lot. Yes, that irritated me. And yeah.
I worry that we are right now, and again, this will probably spill over into later tonight as well, and I'll be rambling again, but I worry that a lot of us as gamers are not clear on what legal rights are. And that's why we have things like California happening and them trying to get us streaming, because they know we're all smart is what I think what gets me. A lot of us gamers are exceedingly intelligent, but we are lacking common sense and we don't know the law. You cannot complain about BS. BS is like, and I'm going to leave details out because Ginger will know what I'm talking about, our little family we have going on.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to report people for harassing you cannot be done.
No.
In Second Life, what you can report is they're threatening your physical person for real. I'm going to come to your house and hurt you.
I'm going to track you down in real life because da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Linden Labs takes that seriously, just as any other MMO does. When you say they're trying to physically harm me for real, yes, they will step in. But they're bothering me. They're stealing all of the little bears I'm trying to kill. They don't care. They said move or come back.
Kill faster. Go find a different spawn point. Go kill something else. Come back.
And it's kind of use your common sense. What's more important? Somebody is harassing you by standing in the area you are, killing faster. Their computer's faster than yours. What are they supposed to do over at Blizzard? What is Linden Labs supposed to do if somebody is saying mean stuff to you when they've given you the very basic tool? Block them. Move from where they are. Don't speak to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Some of you need to learn common sense out there. It's not good God. I'm off my soapbox till later. Anyway, it's time for us to take a break.
It is time for a break. All right. Well, when we come back, I've got some Microvolts news.
Ooh. Hotness.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We got a couple seconds before we go.
The rest of y'all, y'all gotta stream to hear. Stream it live. Flash is gonna kill me for choosing this day. So we're back already. See, didn't take long.
No, we're back already. Back already.
Juice.
All right. Microvolts gears up for summer with the Summer Recharge Patch. The new Summer Recharge Patch will feature the coolest new content in town, including a new map, new weapons, new accessories, and a first-ever clan tournament, and more. Rock Hippo Productions announced today that it has released a Summer Recharge Patch for its popular online cartoon-style third-person action shooter, Microvolts. The latest patch includes a brand new map, new weapons, and new content for the summer. There seems to be a new trailer and screenshots, which I think I've got the screenshots up on the website. I was not able to get the trailer, but I will grab that later. In addition, Microvolts is celebrating with its first ever Microvolts Clan Tournament, Clan Clash, from July 15th through August 11th. To check out all the new content and view the screenshots and trailer, players can visit microvolts.com, or, you know what, better yet, just go to GameNatrix.com. GameNatrix.com.
Whoop, whoop.
Woohoo! Oh, yeah, I mean, we got fluffy cakes. Bring it. Microvolts. Microvolts is celebrating summer in style with a brand new map, Magic Paper Land, and all new weapons such as the Thunder Grenade Launcher and Hornet Rifle. The Summer Recharge Patch also includes hot summer items such as a pink polka dot bikini that is sure to heat up the battlefield.
What?
Oh, my God, yeah. For players looking for even more bonuses and special privileges, can check out the new rewards available through the battery charge program. Players who complete certain objectives, such as joining the clan or reaching 100 forum posts, can unlock rewards such as a 30-day Rock Hippo costume set or the coveted ability to cast polls and post videos on Microvolt forums. Howard He, president and CEO of Rock Hippo Productions, says, Microvolts continues to be a huge success with its player base and clans reaching new heights. Hundreds of thousands of players and over 2,500 clans have already joined the Microvolts community, with thousands more players joining each day. We don't want our players to experience any summer boredom, and the Microvolts team looks forward to bringing the community even more new updates and content in the future. Microvolts is also hosting the first ever Microvolts clan tournament, Clan Clash, from July 15th through August 11th. Clans will battle it out for a first person. Clans will battle it out for a first place prize of 18,000 rock tokens and a 7-day happy pack accessory item. Microvolts will be at GamesCon in Cologne, Germany, August 18th through the 21st. Players are invited to meet the Rock Hippo crew, grab some neat giveaways such as an Alienware gaming mouse, and participate and participate in the on-site tournament. Microvolts will also be at Fan Expo in Toronto, Canada, August 25th through the 28th. Come on, what about Comic-Con? We want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. We want to be there. Or, you know, just, yeah. Anyways, so Microvolts features fast-paced third-person shooter action and pits players against each other in a secret battle that has been waged and going unnoticed right in our own backyard for years. No one knows for sure when or where the first toy declared war, but rumor has it that the uprising began with four original limited edition figures, codenamed Microvolts. Battle lines are drawn with Naomi, Nox, Pandora, and Chip. The prototypes were soon joined by an endless number of modified versions. Now toy figures around the world are engaged in an all-out war for valuable battery resources and supremacy of the micro world. All we can do now is stay out of their way and wait for a champion to be declared. Featuring a ton of weapons, inventive character designs, and a huge list of customization features, Microvolts is destined to invigorate and re-energize the free-to-play space. All right, so if you want to check out that game, you can head over to microvolts.com.
All right. Well, I got a tongue twister for you.
Uh-oh, what you got?
Pick a piggy.
Pick a Piggy offers a pick a promo code on Facebook and Twitter. Premier Russian developer Dynamic Pixels is excited to announce the iOS game to the iOS gaming community that it's preparing to give away more promo codes for its brand new game Pick a Piggy. Wow. The promo codes are available now on the official Twitter pages of appgamer.net, and that's at gamernet on Twitter, and also on pocketgamer.co.uk and at pocketgamer. To find out more about the latest and future promo code giveaways, you can follow Dynamic Pixels on Facebook at /pickapiggy. You're saying, what the hell is Pick a Piggy? Well, it's an engaging physics-based game with original gameplay, lovable cartoon characters, outstanding audio, and high-definition graphics. Notice they told us nothing about the game. All of these features offer a wealth of touchscreen-controlled, physics-based entertainment on your iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad. I'll probably see if I can grab this today because I need somebody to be mad at. The game, the game, of course, follows the adventures little rubber Piggy Pong as she attempts to climb out of her maze-like house and see the world. As she's going to do it, the only way she knows how, by bouncing. Pick a Piggy is compatible with all Apple iOS devices of all generations and includes the full Game Center and Retina display support. Really? We have added the trailer to our YouTube channel. Should be around the first or second video if you're listening to this early during the day. Later on, it might not be. And, of course, you can follow them on Facebook and on Twitter, Pick a Piggy. Yes, it's all separate words. Say again.
I said, oh, my God. That is cracking me up. Ah!
Pick a Piggy.
Pick
I don't piggy. Know what to, I don't know what to say to that. I really don't. Say again. You're GLaDOS and out.
GLaDOS, leave me alone, GLaDOS.
There you go. Now you're back.
Yay, I'm back. I hate you, GLaDOS.
Don't say that to her while you're on the air. She doesn't like it.
My bad. I love you, GLaDOS. I love you.
GLaDOS is amazing.
All right, so
for yeah, GLaDOS. Yeah, you're GLaDOS and again. She is not letting you talk.
I see this.
And there you are back again. Quickly,
see it. All right, so survey average gamer will spend nearly 2 years playing games.
That's all?
I know, right? I think I've already finished that. According to a survey conducted by video game price comparison site player2.com, gamers spend
GLaDOS, no. We can't. Let it go. I'm gonna jump in here.
give it time. You jump in.
Give it time. Well, this is actually a couple days old, but actually, it's just from yesterday. I'm a day ahead. I'm already on tomorrow. Harry Potter. Hello. Facebook launches every phone app. This came in late yesterday. The new Facebook Every Phone app launched on the 12th, actually, and allows over 2,500 models of Java-enabled phones access to the Facebook features like photos and messages. The social network also announced that users would get 90 days of free data access with selected carriers, including the three networks in the UK. The app has also been designed to use less data than other similar Java products. The Facebook for Every Phone app can be found on various app stores like GetJar, Appia, and Mobile Weaver, or downloaded directly from the official site. I think I have GetApp on my phone, or GetJar, rather. I want to grab it. They said phones are inherently social devices, and the industry is just beginning to discover what's possible here, Facebook creator Mark Zuckerberg said at an HTC launch event earlier this year. In other industries like games, we found is that the companies that build the best social products are the ones that are just willing to jump in and rethink what they're making to be social from the ground up. Interesting, Mark.
That is interesting.
I finally saw part of a social network, by the way, too.
Oh, I haven't. I've been thinking about it. I may. Yeah.
It's actually good, but it made me angry. It made me very angry. I felt anger for people.
I heard there was a lot of backstabbing that went on.
Oh, yes. That always works out that way. You got to be tight, people. Tight.
Got to be tight. Mm-hmm. All right. So it was glad.
Yeah, as soon as you said, you're not saying another word. She put the hand around the throat. She grabbed that necklace and everything.
Oh, my necklace, not my necklace.
She grabs your necklace and says, shut up, Ginger.
No. No, it's too tight as is.
Yes, I concur. All right, well, I have another quick one. It's almost time for us to go, though, actually. So I'm going to tell you all about this. Oh, this is going to be interesting. Mm. Reminds me of another game I'm working on a review for y'all. It's just taking me a while. What is the name of this game that I've been playing? Meta Assassin. Check it out. Come play with me so I can finish writing the review. But on the other side, there's a different one called Ads Life, which is a social browser game. The beta is playable online right now, which I'll put up for you shortly. Players will get to start a one-man advertising agency. Meta Assassins, of course, killing. This one is you hunt for customers and duel with other agencies. You get to live the life of a talented and cursed visionary creative immersed in the atmosphere of the 70s gray metropolitan life. Ads Life is a social game as ads created are visible on the web and can be shared with social tools. Sounds interesting. It's, of course, produced by Gamamoto. They're a small indie development group based out of Florence, Italy. And that's about all that they have given us. So we'll post this up, and you're welcome to come and play with me because I'm playing like six games. If y'all wonder what I'm doing, y'all see stuff being posted. I'm running three, four games on two different computers. Holla. Uh-oh, Ginger switched up on us. How you doing, baby?
I'm doing free. I'm free.
You know what? I think it's your area because you're even sounding glad of since you switched back to your cell phone.
Oh, well, I'm on the headset at the moment.
Oh, that's weird. That's very weird. Well, we got 3 minutes. We're gonna go early because I don't want to stress my Ginger. She's already had a harrowing day.
Oh, and I gotta tell you about all that effort. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's give Ginger a round of applause. Because we love her and because she needs to hear it.
Love you, Corey.
Oh, that sounded so like GLaDOS. I love you, Corey. All right. So, guys, we'll, of course, see you later on tonight. Of course, we'll be talking about some of the stuff from this morning. I will try to be quiet, but y'all know me. I get all pissy. But we'll see you later on tonight for DDR's This Week in Gaming. Make sure you're there. And on the night show, since those of you complain, you can call in. You can call in and speak to us. We'll let you talk for a little while. Okay? And I don't know if Ginger will be there. Her necklace is kind of tight, so we'll see. I'm thinking I'm going to get me some L.A. Noire. I got to have it. I'm becoming obsessed.
Yes.
I'm so obsessed, I don't even care that it's on the PS3. I don't. I gotta have it. Poor Ginger. You guys know where to find us. GameandHX.com, HammerGirlsRadio.com, or here on Blog Talk anytime. Oh, did we forget Twitter, Facebook, all those good ones. Jen.
Later, boys and girls.
Oh, she got